the dedication you and I have on President's Day. Both of us off.
To all the presidents. some of the presidents.
Yes, exactly.
Yo and hello, everybody. Welcome to Mike and Ty. I'm Mike. That's Ty.
Welcome to Mike and Ty. Welcome to On the Fly with Mike and Ty.
That too. And this is we are totally on the fly today. Trust me.
We are. We both texted each other and said, hey, do we want to do an episode? We're both off with our families. And we said, we have to. We have to please the people.
It's all for you guys. So, funny thing, I showed you this earlier, but that's the temperature right now here. 83 degrees.
Yeah, well, I just got a text a few hours ago about a wind chill warning in effect for us the next 3 days. We're at negative 15 wind chill up on the mountain.
Wow.
That's 100-degree swing.
Well, the funny thing is, it's 83 today. It's supposed to snow Wednesday and Thursday here. Go figure.
Go figure. Go figure. Well, yeah. Yeah. North and south right there. That's what you get.
It is February, so we're kind of close to spring. Like, it's on the cusp of spring, which I'm excited about if they would actually figure out to play baseball or not. But it's a whole nother different episode. But
yeah. Well, I mean, we hinted towards the excitement of Series 1 release last week, and then we have the release, obviously, this week or this past couple days. I've been seeing some crazy stats about the print run for Series 1, and some of it, I think, is like lowballing it. There's likely a million base of every player. Like, Wander Franco likely has a million base cards printed.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. And people will buy them.
Yeah, well,
if you print it, people will come. People will come, Ray.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because I think the smart money knows that you got to buy short printed stuff. You got to buy serial number cards. And you look at the odds. I saw a chart. Someone put out like the progression from the last 10 years of how hard it is to get gold and black and, you know, Independence Day, everything, vintage stock, all the parallels out of flagship. And it's gotten like 20x harder to get those.
Right.
So like, you could argue that the short printed cards should carry even more value now because of how much harder they are to pull, how much clutter is surrounding them.
You have to sift through a lot of crap to get to the good stuff, don't you?
You do. You do. How many Wander base are you submitting in to get graded?
I have zero. I will likely only have one because I'll buy the Topps complete set when it comes out at the end of the year.
Right.
But other than that, this reminds me of 2020, honestly.
Really? Well, how so?
Just, it felt like you could, like, everybody, and I get this, and yet I still think it's just silly. The excitement over Series 1 Tops, right? Look, it's a new baseball card season, new baseball season.
Yep.
Spring is in the air. The optimism abounds. I get it. And yet, there's plenty of it. Like, it'll be on the shelves in June. It'll be on the shelves in August and in October.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt in 2020. You could go to the store and literally buy as much of it as you wanted to.
Yeah.
And that was February 2020. Obviously, it changed quickly. March, April, May, we got into the pandemic and things, shelves got cleaned off and all that. And they couldn't print more because everything was shut down. So they would have, I promise. Like, they would have kept printing it into oblivion as long as we keep buying it. And I think we do this to ourselves. We overhype something, and I get that it is as exciting. It's also silly to me. And I'm just not going to fall for it.
No. Well, yeah, just to give some context around the numbers. So hobby boxes around 115,000 likely base hobby jumbo boxes around the same 115,000 retail, probably around 350,000 to 400,000 base cards. Complete set boxes will be around 250,000, and then complete team sets will be another 15,000+, gets you right at 1 million-ish base cards of each player. It's pretty astonishing when you think of it that way, and you compare it to like. And all you have to do is just work backwards to see the odds of things and know pretty quickly, like we're talking triple, quadruple print runs from just even 3 or 4 years ago.
Do you know the estimate of how many 89 Upper Deck Griffies were printed? I don't know either off the top of my head, but it was a lot, right?
It was a lot. I want to say it was north of 1 million, right? I mean, it was.
I think that's the number that's been thrown around.
It's the most graded card. It's the second most graded card of all time, right?
What's the most graded card of all
time? I think the Ripken Rookie.
Really?
Is the most graded. Yeah.
Interesting. So let's say there's 1 million+ Griffey rookies out there. It still has value. That's important in high grade, right? so that's good to know. That's good precedent. But Griffey was one of the all-time greats, like Inner Circle Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know? We don't know what Wander looks like, a really good player. Is he going to be King Griffey? Probably not. And so that's funny. But it also, think about an 89. You had Upper Deck printing cards, Score, Tops, Donruss, Fleer. Right now there's only Tops. So it's really not maybe as bad as the junk. Everybody's saying we're in the new junk wax era. Now, granted, if you had however many companies making cards, they only made their base set in a few little, you know, it wasn't like they had 37 products like Topps does now, or however many products they're going to put out this year. So it's a different kind of junk wax era. It's a different kind of junk era. Plenty of base cards to be had. And there were plenty of base cards back then for sure. You could just pick your poison of whether you wanted, you know, Topps, Fleer, Donruss, Upper Deck, whatever. But it feels like they're just inundating the market because they can. Why shouldn't they?
Yeah. I mean, I argue like both sides of this, where I think Flagship should be one of those products where you can get it. Like, it should be a product where everybody can have access to it. So I like that part of it. But yeah, the flip side of that is there shouldn't be 1 million base cards. There just shouldn't be that many. So where's the balance? I'm looking, by the way, as we're talking, it looks like, I don't see any estimations, or probably are. If anyone knows, put it in the comments below how many print, what the print run was on the Upper Deck Griffey, but there's over 130,000 graded.
You can imagine how many more are sitting in closets and or thrown in trash cans long ago.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've got 289 Upper Deck complete sets just sitting in my closet, and I have 3 graded Upper Deck Griffies. So
yeah,
I have 5 at least, and I'm one guy. So crazy world we live in.
It is crazy. It is crazy too, because it just, you see this every, well, not, I shouldn't say every year, because this is a Wander's one of those guys where the anticipation's built up for a few years and you've kind of just anticipated Flagship release of his rookie, but it doesn't matter how big of a star, everyone always falls into that like hype train. And when you have this much print out there, like there, it's going to come crashing down hard.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see the grading runs on this. Like,
apparently one's already been graded.
Yeah.
Somebody sent it in Super Express, and I don't know. It's like, I don't know any deets on it other than that. That's a kid term. They say,
did you just say deets?
I did, instead of details.
You are not allowed to say that word.
I'm too old for that.
Too old.
Way too old. I had a point I was going to make. Oh, I don't even like, okay, let me ask you this. Do you consider the 2022 Topps Series 1 Wander his rookie card, or do you consider the Bowman's Best?
I'm on the, it's not a rookie card until Flagship prints it train. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think he should have been an update. They tried to like get the printers and all the supply chain issues figured out, and that's why they did it. That's what I think, at least. He should have been last year, but it is what it is. Flagship release is his rookie. That's what I think.
See, I'd rather own the Bowman's Best Wander Franco than the 2022 Tops if I had to choose one to own.
Yeah, well, because you're in the know, the problem is 99% of other people always default to, okay, when was the Topps rookie printed? Like, educating people on that is more work than it's worth, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But as a collector, I can see that. That totally makes sense.
And I own neither card, by the way, so.
This is awesome.
Hey,
if you were to pick.
Let them do some things. Then I'll, you know, let's see 6-7 years from now. Then I'll, and it will be more expensive. I get everybody's like, well, it's cheaper now. Yeah, but I'm not, I can use that money towards other things instead of buying all these maybes and possiblys for
100%. Already
been there, done that. So
yeah.
It's me though. What do I know?
What do you know? I did a video earlier today. I did it this weekend, but I put it out today on the Breaker Culture channel about my top 12 sales for the past week. And my first number one was a Bowman 1989 Bowman Tiffany Griffey rookie. And it sold for $1,600. It was graded in SGC 9. And two things on that. One, I continue to be impressed with the amount of people buying Griffey cards. It's like, it almost, you see the hype of Wander and people are like, screw that. I'm going to go buy more Griffeys, which is cool. And second, that SGC 9 sold for 20% more than the recent PSA 9 comp.
Wow.
So take that for what it's worth. SGC continues. I think Peter put out a tweet or Instagram post the other day where they had their highest submission day in their 22-year history this past week.
Yeah. They run the risk of, again, getting more cards than they can handle.
Yeah.
Right. That's always a risk, but I think they're, did you see Peter's video about them screwing up and admitting it and coming clean with it?
I have not watched the video. You want to give me the synopsis?
Yeah. It's, apparently they graded a couple in their Pokemon cards. And it's funny how all this stuff is happening with Pokemon cards and not so much with sports cards, but a couple of Pokemon cards that they encapsulated and assigned a numeric grade to.
Okay.
Turns out they were fake. They got the card. They're getting the cards back. They compensated the people involved. And Peter came out and did a video about it and just owned it. And I loved it so much that he just said, yeah, we messed up. And that's going to cause us, because we screwed up, to re-examine our processes, to re-examine how we do these. And that's all you can ask from somebody. I mean, and the reality of it is, this is the human element will never be removed from this process. And so you're going to have human mistakes that happen. And you just, as long as you own it, I think that's the best you can do.
And you imagine, I want to go watch it because I love Peter's approach to that stuff. But can you imagine if Mr. Turner would have come out and said something along those lines a year ago at PSA, just put a video out and said, hey, we screwed up, got ahead of ourselves. Like we've mentioned before, we're going to credit back 50% of the grading fees for those that we extended past what we promised. Like PSA would have, like, they would have been uncrackable at that point.
Totally agree. And I don't know. Is greed just the word that defines why some people do some things and some do others? Because I don't get that feeling from SGC or from Peter. They want to make, they're a business, you know, they're not doing it for free. It's not a charity. But at the same time, you take care of customers, you build loyalty, you build a fan base. I'd rather have fewer loyal customers than tons of mindless. It's like with our show. I'd rather have fewer people watch but love it and enjoy it, comment, interact, than if we had 20,000 views of people just that don't care. I don't
know. Yeah. And by the way, we do have those. Shout out to Oz, by the way. Oz is always watching and always commenting. We appreciate you a ton. Thanks for without you, our SEO would be so bad on our videos. We wouldn't be able to crack the algorithm.
We did get a comment from somebody, and we're doing a special episode, by the way, You can look for it probably later this week on BenchClear here, where we're going to go through some comments. And we got a comment about how we know each other. Somebody asked, so because they see the chemistry, you and I get along very well, obviously. We don't always necessarily agree, but that's okay too. How do we know each other, Ty? You want to tell people that story?
I'll give the 20-second version. We were building BenchClear, Jeff and I. Now Jeff is over at Panini running their marketing team. And Jeff said, you need to go meet Mike. Mike is great. You and him are like water and wine. Or is it water and oil? I don't know. Whatever. He said some sort of analogy. He's like, you guys need to meet.
Peas and carrots.
Yes. I like that one too. Barbecue and corn on the cob. He said, you got to meet. And he introduced us on the call. I think the three of us got on the call, right? This is 2 years ago now. And you and I one offed each other real quick. And we just said, hey, you want to do this together? And that was it. I think we both knew pretty quickly, like, this could be really fun. We balance each other out pretty well.
And here you go. Here's the result of that. Two years later.
12,000 subscribers later.
And Ty and I talk a lot off camera. We genuinely like each other. We like hanging out together. And if he didn't live, you know, halfway across the country, it'd be a lot easier. But he's been here to my house. I'm going to his house. Like we like our spouse. I mean, everything, it just works. So that's why you guys see what you see every week from Ty and I is because it's genuine and real. And
we like our spouses. Where were you going with that?
Like, I think Julie and May will get along really well.
I think you're right there.
They haven't met, but I'm excited for them to meet and they can talk like our husbands are stupid and crazy. And
it's funny you say that. There's been a few times where I've had you on speakerphone and I hear Julie in the background and May will hear it. And May's like, I think I can agree with Julie in a lot of things. I'm like, you guys are going to have fun.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time.
Yeah. Real quick on that note, you asked, is it because of greed? And there's a reason they came up with that whole, you know, that the rest on your laurel, don't rest on your laurels comment. I think that's because of, it is easy to rest on your laurels, right? It's easy to get sucked into that trap of thinking that you've got so far ahead that you don't have to go the extra mile. And I think you can see what SGC is having to do to build loyalty, and they have to go the extra mile, and you feel it in every video and every comment, everything they do, which is cool. Very cool. I just hope they don't get to that point where they're a solid number two and they stop resting on their laurels, because what they're doing right now is true grassroots. And they're building some pretty solid loyalty, and I'm mad respect for that.
Yeah. And PSA that could literally, I think, care less about the little guy kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Speaking of little greed, guys, how about greed? Oh, go ahead. You want to talk about little guys? Go ahead.
You know, I didn't want to bring this up, Mike, but since you did, I'm kidding. Ticket stubs. Are you a ticket stub guy? Let's start with that. I mean, Jackie Robinson, we're going to bring this up in a second, but are you a ticket stub guy?
Collecting? No. I have one. I have a Nolan Ryan 300 win ticket.
Okay.
That he signed from his 300th win. And Norman looks awfully comfortable back there, doesn't he?
No, no kidding.
But I'd love a Lou Gehrig ticket from Lou Gehrig Day. You know, there's those tickets are running around.
Yeah.
But the reality is, no, I wasn't. Unless I was there, I don't want a ticket from it.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. If I was there, I want a ticket to remember that. It's a great memento.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I wasn't a ticket guy. I'm still not a ticket guy. When I bought one of my collections midsummer last year, there was some tickets in there. And I started looking them up, and there were a couple Bulls tickets. And I'm like, oh my crap. Like, some of these are Jordan games and they sold for $400. And I'm thinking, there's a big market for this. Then I hit up some antique stores over the course of the fall, and I grabbed some more. But I've been hearing a lot of people talk about how the ticket stub market's growing.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so I did some research real quick on Terapeak on eBay, and the average amount of ticket stubs in the sports space over the last year has gone up 65%.
Wow.
From January to January. Went from about 140 sold per day to about 130-ish sold per day. To 230 sold per day. It's quite impressive. I mean, I'm not that interested in it, but it is really impressive to me that how fast this part of the market's growing. And then you saw this Jackie Robinson debut stub.
You could argue that's one of the most historic ticket stubs ever.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not, this came on the 17th. I don't think the bidding's done yet. It was at 185,000 at that time. A couple days ago. Dang.
Yeah. That was on television not too long ago here locally, because Heritage is local here.
Okay.
And I think one of the television stations went over and they have a bunch of Jackie Robinson stuff they're selling in this current auction, and which you never go wrong selling Jackie Robinson stuff.
No kidding.
Always a good idea.
So my takeaway there is it's cool. Unless you were at that game, you just have no desire to kind of add that element to your collection.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I wonder if most people feel that way, or if like it's new people coming into the hobby saying, you know what, I'm going to go after something that other people aren't.
Put it down below. Leave a comment if you're into ticket stubs and why you like them.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. Might cause us to investigate that a little bit more. So
you might as well like and subscribe if you're writing a comment. I mean, come on.
We don't need to ask people to do that. They'll do it anyway. Okay, I'm going to put your basketball knowledge to a test. So there was another post on Sports Collectors Daily about the top five basketball players sold in the last quarter. So the number of cards sold by basketball player. Let me see. I'm going to guess of the top five, you'll be able to get three of the five. You don't have to get them right in order. But what do you think the top five are?
Number of cards sold in the last 3 months.
Yes. Hold on. Let me confirm that. The last 5 months. It's the first half of the NBA season.
Okay. LeBron James.
He is number one.
Michael Jordan.
Nope.
Not in the top five.
Not in the top five.
Kobe Bryant.
Nope.
Zion Williamson.
Nope.
LaMelo Ball.
Ooh, I did not think he'd get him. He's number three.
I have only one more. Steph Curry?
No. You got two of them.
Jokic.
Jokic.
Him too.
No. Ja Morant's number two.
Okay.
So LeBron, Ja Morant, LaMelo Ball. Your very own Luka Doncic at number four. And number five, Giannis. Antetokounmpo. Wow. Two of five. Not bad.
I would have gotten those guys eventually. I thought Luka's market has cooled so much. I now regret not selling my Prism rookie that I have.
Why? You're not in it for money. Why would you sell?
It's fun to make money. That's true. And I only paid $15 for it. So
Did I just catch you, Mike? I catch you saying it's fun to make money in cards.
It's fun to make money, period. But I guess it's so hard to ever figure out, and people ask me this all the time, why don't you sell, wait for it to go back down and then rebuy it plus other stuff, you know? And that's just overall, that's too much work for me. But if you had one card, I guess it wouldn't be such a bad thing. But
well, in your case, you would have sold a Luka for $3,500, let's say.
No, that card got to about 700.
Oh, yours is base, not a silver. Okay.
Base, yeah. And it's numbered. It's a PSA 9.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
It's so now like for 700. It's now $150 card.
Yeah.
So you but it's also basketball. See, so I'd have a really hard time doing that with a vintage baseball card, but doing it with basketball, I can count on one hand the number of basketball cards I have in my entire collection. So it would be not that big a deal to sell that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I've talked about this. It's one of those things where for you, once you start getting that routine of selling, it then opens up a whole new can of worms of extra work and then taxes. You got to file the taxes and do the cost basis and all that crap. Yep. Which you don't have to do now because you don't sell enough.
Nope.
Which leads into a question that you wanted to talk about, and that is, will tax season with the, we think, you know, plethora of refunds lead to a buying spree in mid-April?
Raise your hand in this room if you're getting a refund.
Right, exactly.
Neither one of us will be in that camp, so we can speak very intelligently about people that get refunds. I owe a lot of money, so a lot of extra money beyond what I've already paid in.
I don't know what I'm supposed to, how I'm supposed to respond to that.
Yay.
Congrats.
Thanks,
Mike.
But look, it's not the worst problem in the world to have. But on the other side of that, there are a lot of people that do get refunds. In fact, most Americans do. And I think it will be a little bit of a bump for the card market. I mean, that's kind of found money. I talk to so many people, talking to clients all the time. They look at their refunds as like a bonus.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, it's your money, right? That you just let the government borrow for a year. It's a forced savings program, basically. Right. You could have just saved the money yourself, lower what they take out of your check and keep the money. I don't know. It's funny, the mindset of people. By the way, I don't endorse that at all as a way to save money.
But the advice given today has been great.
Yeah. You don't want a refund. You want it to be zero. Ideally, you end up not owing or plus or minus a couple $100s, right?
Right.
That's the ideal situation tax-wise. But yeah, people will get, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars worth of refunds. They'll use it to take a vacation. And I bet there will be a lot of people that use it to buy cards. And that might cause a little bit of a bump over the next, I don't know, 3 or 4 months would be my guess.
Yeah, I think it balances out. Like, a lot of us owe money, a lot of us get money back. And so I probably will spend a little less over the course of April, you know, so it'll kind of balance itself out. In fact, this year, I'm just, from my circle, people that typically get money back are getting a lot less back or owing for the first time. The whole child tax credit, I've heard a couple times from people where they got forced into, what's that?
They took it monthly, that monthly stipend.
Took it monthly, and then they're filing their taxes and having to pay it back or portions of it back. And they're like, wait, what? I thought that was free money. And it was like, So I don't know, man. I think it could even be a negative come April for the market.
Interesting. Yeah, we're two people. We both owe. I mean, I'm not getting a refund. So plus I'll owe my first quarterly taxes. And I'm already thinking about how I'm going to come up with the second quarter. And I put money away for taxes. I'm, you know, self-employed.
Right.
They don't take money out of my check. So I have to do that myself. And that takes a lot more discipline and a lot more.
Right.
They want it. I promise. So I have to have it
when
they ask for it, so to speak. And paying quarterlies is something I've just been used to for the last 20 years. But for people that are doing cards, they're not thinking about that, I don't think.
No.
And thinking, man, I need to put some of this profit away come next year when I need to pay taxes on this and keep that. Actually, my advice would be, for every dollar you make in profit, and I'm talking about profit, you buy a card for 10 bucks, you sell it for 20. That's $10 worth of profit, right? That's what you're going to be taxed on. Your $10 that you paid for the card is your cost basis. You have gross sales of $20, but your profit's 10. Keep 25% of that tucked away. Put it in somewhere in a money market or a savings account and just
pillowcase.
Pillowcase is fine. Pillowcase. I don't care. Just don't spend it because you're going to owe it. And you better be ready for that.
Yeah. Or you could go watch some of the videos we've done with Frank, our in-house CPA, and talk about some ways to reduce your cost basis.
Is he the official Bench Clear Media?
He might as well be. We've done 4 videos with him now?
Right.
All of them great. I'll link them in the show notes if anyone's entering that. I mean, you should be. It's February 21st. You better be thinking about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else we got on the agenda today?
That's it, man. We're at 30 minutes.
Wait.
What?
Wait. What about talking? We were talking about greed earlier. And we have seen, and this came to light today. I had a friend who's not into cards text me this story about a local card shop here that got broken into last week. And it's a card shop I've been to. I've done a video there and put it on my channel. It's called American Dream Sports Card. It's in the mid cities. It's in the Metroplex here. And they got broken into and got a bunch of cards stolen. And that really, there it is. So these guys go in, do a smash and grab. Then a lady went to another card shop here locally and tried to sell the cards. And she got busted. So apparently it's all kind of working itself out. But why do you think there's just been this rash nationwide? Obviously the hobby's booming, but it's funny that people want to steal that stuff wherever there's money. Well, right?
Well, I was going to say, it's not funny to me at all. I mean, some of these cards they're stealing are $5,000-$10,000, you know, slabs now. And it's what amazes me is that we're in an era where everything is trackable, everything. I mean, you can go look, especially a PSA slab. You can scan the cert and you can see the history. You can see the image. You can now do it with SGC slabs, but yet we're still very unsophisticated in our ability to like restrict those slabs from being sold. And I, there needs to be some sort of, and once they do this, I think it'll change everything, where when you scan a slab, it shows you like who should own it and kind of who was the last owner, that provides some sort of accountability. And maybe there's a cutoff, like it's a $10,000 slab or something, there needs to be like a tag you can apply to. I don't know. I haven't really put that much thought into it, but it is crazy. We don't have, someone can go steal $50,000 in slabs and go walk down the street to a card show and take cash from them. And it's like nothing ever happened.
Yeah. I'm going to put Apple tags on all of my cards from now on.
All of them, huh?
Yeah. I mean, actually, what would be wrong with having like a little stick-on GPS tracker that you put on your cards?
Well, shoot, they can put like little rice-sized pellets inside of animals now to track them.
Yeah. Norman's got one in him. He's got a tracker in him.
Yeah. It looks like he's going to run off. Again, he looks like he's a candidate.
he's dead to the world right now. Smart dog. Yeah.
But seriously, like put, I mean, that's a great idea for all these slabbing companies, like throw a GPS tracker in there. I mean, then you run into whole issues of like, you sell it and it moves on. Now you're tracking people's addresses. That gets a little hairy, I guess, but
yeah, we need to work out the kinks on that, but,
yeah.
Think through all the ramifications of that.
Mm. Okay. I'm on it.
I don't know. There's so many people that are in this hobby anonymously, but there has to be something to do to solve this problem. Maybe it's just better security. I mean, I don't know what. It just sucks overall that people will do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, even just as an owner, like, hey, I own this card. I bought this card. When it's stolen, being able to like tag something so that PSA even knows when you check the cert, it says, hey, this is flagged as a stolen card.
Ooh,
that would be
an idea.
You know, like maybe
like
something
fraud alert, like a fraud alert on your credit alert. Card or something, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, hey. that gets really complicated really quick. I know, but we're reaching a point now where cards are there's some of these prices are getting so astronomical to where it's changing people's lives for the good and for the bad. And when a card shop owner has that much money in cards stolen, man, that's rough. I like how man said at the end, he's like, I don't care. You can come in anonymously, send some like covert person in here. Just return the cards and I won't even press charges. It's like,
I want the cards back. That's right.
I want the cards, man.
Yeah. And I think I always think all the time if something happened where I don't think about theft, but a lot. But if I fire, flood, you know, what if something happened? A, have good insurance, which I do. But you don't have insurance because you really want to use it. Insurance is there.
So you can sleep in that.
Yeah. And so having insurance for sure. But I think if I lost everything, I don't know that I'd want to start over. That's the genuine truth. It's taken me 40 plus years to get here. I don't want to. Thanks, but no thanks. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I bet you you're not in the minority there. I bet you there's a lot of people that you don't want to lose it, but if you did, you'd be like, appreciate you saved me the work of having to sell this eventually. Take my insurance check.
Assuming you're not out the money. Yes. Right.
Yeah,
I mean, as long as you're properly insured and
right,
all of that good stuff. I just, it would be I mean, I would be inconsolable for a while. I would be so heartbroken if I lost my collection to anything.
Well, I think it'd be really good if we could figure out a way to have something like that staged, because it does generate a lot of clicks,
ooh,
a lot of views. So if you could like even just fake a robbery, we really need the, we really need the views.
I don't think we do that bad. Let's not.
I'm totally really kidding.
No. We wouldn't.
Totally kidding. Yeah, that's a great point though. I'm curious what people think. Why the heck are we seeing the increase in burglaries, robberies with card shops?
Are you seeing an increase in burgers?
Burgeries. Yeah, it is. It's really, we talked about it 2 months ago while we were seeing like a bunch of, you know, headline news pop up about rob card shops. And here we are again. It's just another wave of them.
It would just be sad if somebody got hurt.
Yeah, that is true. That's the positive, the net, the silver lining is no one's getting hurt out of these.
Well, one guy, I heard about a shop on, it was John Newman talked about it. They got robbed in broad daylight. People got tied up in the back and shop, you know, people working there and all that stuff. Yeah. That would be terrifying. And we're talking about cardboard. It's not worth a human life over for sure.
Exactly.
Shame.
It is a shame.
All just a shame.
All right. Well, cool, so, man. Well, my
positive note, that's a great idea.
Let's end with this. I have an interview with Ivan that got pushed back, so it'll be this week. We had a little conflict in schedule, so that'll be coming out. And then I have a comment thing. Episode coming out. So,
yeah, I had the same thing with Chris Sewell, baseball collector, investor, dealer, in that order. He's going to be early March now. We've had to push that back because his travel got extended. So that's coming. We're still talking. It's all going to happen for a golden age of cardboard. I will do a golden age this episode this week. I just can't. I haven't figured out what I'm going to talk about yet. So I will, though.
I know you will. You always do. If anyone has a topic you want Mike to talk about, leave it in the comments below. What do you got going on, Baseball Collector?
Not much, really. Just probably a couple showcases. Just showing off stuff I already have because I'm still not buying cards, although that's coming to an end soon.
You're just gonna go crazy that night. It's like after you fast for, you know, from food for a little bit, you're like that next day you just binge on everything.
Yeah, but just like that analogy, the problem is my sports card stomach will have shrunk, and so I won't be able to hold as much. Like,
you're gonna buy so much modern.
Oh, that's so not happening. I am building up. I am building back up my eBay watch list again.
Oh, nice.
Of buy it now. I had emptied it out just so I wouldn't be tempted. And now I'm kind of okay. Keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
And it's all by, like, I can't do auctions yet because they'll end before I'm going to be ready. But
yeah, makes sense. Not far.
But all right. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for watching. Have a good week. We'll see you.
See you, bud.